Welcome back to this dormant YouTube channel. It's been probably 3 months since we uploaded anything. It is officially dead. Yeah. We've lost maybe 4 subscribers. The last time I checked, only 4 people said, fuck it, I'm out. So we were at 200. We're at 196 now. But we are back with a refresher. I obviously left esports, so I think that's partially why it's gone quiet. I've just been kind of settling down in agency lifestyle, and Billy's been becoming a big timer, writing for Washington Post and Desert and getting published fucking everywhere. Writing the honest stuff that other people call like doomsday talk and just pure doomer shit.
We've been right, haven't we? We've been right basically on everything. That's all I'm going to say.
Holding it down while I've been living a good, like, pure life. But we have 2023 has been so fucking clapped for esports already. It feels like we've got a 17-hour episode ready for you right here. So in terms of the format, I think it's going to be different from what we do normally.
Yeah, definitely.
I have missed quite a bit, and I'm completely free from any ties whatsoever. So it should create a more honest, even more honest podcast. It was already honest before, but now it's like entirely because it's just, I've got no ties to anything.
Yeah.
I can talk about ex-employers and not worry about anything. Not saying I should or I will, but I can.
Speaking of which, I know who I'm going to bring up now that you've said that.
Well, I'll be honest, but I didn't like come into this podcast thinking now it's the time for me to get cancelled. Now that I'm out of the industry, I would still like to be able to operate online and go on Twitter and not post anything. But we shall see. So yeah, I believe you've got like a bunch of topics you want to discuss.
I mean, I've just got loads of random stuff. I think it's probably best if I kind of run through it, and then for each one, maybe just leave a bit of space and just see if you want to riff on it. See if you have any like insight into the company or the person or any thoughts on like, are you surprised? Blah, blah, blah.
I might have some questions, mate, to be honest with you, to better understand stuff as well.
So Jesus Christ, like you said, it's not been good, has it, this year? I mean, it's some of this stuff that I've got probably goes into like late 2022 as well, or even further back. But so do you know anything about the situation with The Guard? Kroenke owned The Guard.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know what's gone on. Realistically, it's a strange one because they started very small, and then by the time they announced that it's fucked, or like everyone else announces that it's fucked, it seemed they had loads of people out of nowhere. And I know it's Alex Rubens who runs it. I was going to have a podcast with him at one point, and then he ghosted me. So I guess he was busy scaling the company at that point. But yeah, I don't have any insights into that. I've not been asking around or anything. I would say it's definitely not going to be the first. It probably hasn't been the first. There's been layoffs coming about since like probably October, November time now, right?
Maybe a bit
earlier than that when it comes to gaming, like with the big developers and stuff where they had thousands of staff members. But it's a sign of the times, which we've been saying for a long time, as well as say like Richard, somewhat Thorin, and everyone else was saying like, oh no, esports is in a great space. And some people are still on LinkedIn saying like, oh, you may think esports is going downhill. Well, you're actually wrong. And I'm like, no, like this is clear right now. The salaries are ridiculous. You're spreading people way too thin across many jobs and still burning them the fuck out. You know what I mean? So you've got something to go for it.
Yeah, no, this isn't really part of our format, but the piece that Cecilia D'Anastasia wrote for Kotaku is one of the best articles you can read. And I thought this at the time as well. Or I guess just after, because I kind of came into the industry like probably like a year after the article was written. It was for Kotaku, and it was basically like, is esports a bubble? It's massive, like, I don't know, it must have been like 7,000-8,000 words. Like, it was a big piece. And like, it's just aged so like perfectly. And like I said, I read that a while ago, and I was like, yeah, she's spot on. Like, it makes all the good points. And you fast forward, and like I said, I think most people with their head screwed on knew that this was.
It was a common sense piece.
It was. But it was also really good reporting, and like there's something to be said about, even if it is common sense, just doing the reporting and getting the facts straight. So yeah, Cecilia has been pitch perfect on that in other articles as well for years. And yeah, I think now you're just seeing the contraction. You're seeing the esports just got too big beyond what it could sustain on its own, and now you're just seeing the fallout.
But it only got big in terms of investment. That like it didn't get big in terms of viewership. Yeah, viewership's okay, mm-hmm. but like it's not like traditional sports levels.
In a way, it got big in terms of like mainstream appeal, or like when
people. Even then, I don't think it actually has.
Like, oh no, I just mean like the hype of it. Like someone would hear esports and just be like, "Oh, that's I've read a fucking CNN article about that." It's, you know what I mean? There was like
it
beyond what it actually was.
But a lot of those articles were quite shit. The ones that would hit the mainstream, like it was more so Ninja Fortnite playing with Drake, Travis Scott stuff, and then esports as it was on the periphery of that, as it is with gaming. Like it's such a small subset of gaming. It's so fucking niche still. That sure, like I could say I work in esports, and my dad might be like, "Oh, I heard something on the radio about that. Someone won $1 million playing Fortnite and he was 16 or something," like talking about wolfies, I guess. You know what I mean? And like, that's fine, but like that's not converting to anything meaningful. And even when we got the viewers in, monetization was shit. Like we've discussed how the lack of broadcast rights, it's just across Twitch and YouTube for free, effectively, because you know, Facebook tried to come in, the fans fucked it off. Like, so that a lot of money came in and not a lot of money was coming out of the consumers. So like it was always going to go this way. So I've been saying it for fucking ages. We've been saying it since we started speaking, and everyone else, like, well, I say everyone else, some people were like very much against it, but it's just like, I don't understand where their thoughts were. I don't know if they thought like something magic was going to pop up, but now you've seen it with the Guard. We saw it before with Reciprocity. Fucking, it's happened quite a bit. Like Ghost Gaming, like died and has come back a little bit, but like more content creatory, I guess. And
I think
it doesn't surprise me, the Guard stuff. It is a shame because, you know, LA Gorillas are an okay brand. Okay brand. Gladiators, I don't really watch Overwatch League much, but in my opinion, like, I never saw anything that made me think, wow. But like those leagues are fucked within themselves anyway. They've not been taking payments for ages or deferring payments. Like it's just, it makes sense for them to want to pull out. And this is a real sign of things, because it's not as if Kroenke's, like, that sports and entertainment company's run out of money. It's not as if it's fucking run out of money. And it's fine losing money because it operates in the Premier League, where like every team actually loses money, but they can still make money on it when it comes to it. So they're fine making losses if they can see a return in the future.
Exactly.
And they've run out of patience with esports. Obviously not money, but they've seemingly run out of patience with esports. So it's like, now what can people say to argue against the fact that some shit needs to change? That's my stance.
You're at the point now where it's just going to have to. So you're going to get people that are unhappy. You're going to get players when teams come to them with revised offers that they're not going to be happy with the offers, but then there's not going to be anything else on the table eventually.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to take it.
So you tweeted the other day about an investment report. Like, I think we started it when I was the editor at ESI, I think, where...
Oh yeah.
Every month we'd like just round up all the investments in esports, right? And Observer would always do the fucking annoying cunty shit of also including gaming stuff that was the most tangentially linked to esports ever to boost the number up. But regardless, there were millions coming in at all times. Have we ever checked? I don't know if you checked based on that tweet, like when the influx like slowed down. Was there a particular month where it just seemed to calm?
I've not checked.
Because you left,
like, precisely.
Stop checking that, right?
Yeah, I left ESI. So I was writing the monthly investment report until June 2021, I think it was. Like I said, even towards the end of my time there, I remember constantly writing about, oh, this company raises $8 million. This, you know, there was always little, and then there'd be a big one, like $40 million or more. I've not actually checked, but you know, you see it on your Twitter, you see it when you check esportsinsider.com and all these other sites. Like, it's just intuitively true that there just aren't as many investment rounds being made in these companies. Like, they still exist here and there. I've actually got a stat for you on this. One second.
Oh shit, okay. Man's popping numbers.
Yeah. So I got this from a Jordan Fragan article.
Okay.
So in 2022, there were 59 esports financing deals closed, which was worth 400 million total. That's down 81% from 2021, where 2.1 billion was raised across 718 deals.
Okay, so, I think that still conflates gaming and esports, but regardless,
it like, probably does. So that piece does cover gaming generally, but in the piece that they do specify that, like, I think gaming is like 100 odd billion or 200 odd billion, something like that. And then they do make it specific, to be fair, to esports. Okay. And there's like a massive, whereas gaming's grown generally, esports has shrank like by a lot.
Good on the investors for wising up to the fact that this shit don't work at the moment. Like, good on them. I'd genuinely hate to see more be forced into the industry and encourage fuckery. Like, this is a good time now to, there's going to be a lot of quote unquote destruction. In my mind, I would call it people losing jobs and long-standing companies with legacies and stuff leaving. Like, Evil Geniuses, fucking nuke it, let's start again. Companies like that,
Can I just ask, why does everyone hate Evil Geniuses? I see Richard Lewis fucking post about this all the time. Why does everyone just flame
senior vice president or senior director of game performance, stuck up thick cunt.
Who is that?
Gamer Doc, so like director of performance at EG, had a go at Cassad, who was going to be the coach of EG CSGO. Had a go at him because like they didn't see eye to eye or whatever, and he was basically saying like, "Look, it's going to fail." And she was like, "Oh, you didn't say that when you was interviewing for us a couple months ago." Blah 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 blah. Which, yeah, because he's the one who thought he could fucking change things, and you went a different way. Of course, he's not going to believe in your project. Number two, they were on a massive loss streak probably a month ago, like probably 200th in the world or some bollocks, and then they won like one game against Heroic, who were not world number one at the time, I'm pretty sure. And then she like did some cocky ass tweet, like, "Oh look, we invested in our pipeline. Casters aren't talking bad about us now." Type shit, like basically saying the casters have got a hate boner for Evil Geniuses. And then they went on like a 14 game loss streak after that, like every fucking game. So it's just
bittersweet. Also,
Thorin's video on Nicola Point Jameson. I don't know if you've seen it, but basically, his thesis is she's selfish. She's doing it all to build her brand. I've been saying that very early on, because she included herself in everything. She wanted to be a Carlos, a Nadeshot, a Hex, but without the pedigree, experience, charisma, whatever. Very much leaning on the fact that she's the first blah, blah, blah in the industry and using that to get good press about her while also doing a bad job with Evil Geniuses. So, fuck them.
So you think fundamentally, fucking cunts. Yeah, I like their old logo, actually. I remember what it looked like.
It didn't need fucking with.
No, it was nice. What was I just going to ask you? Yeah, so what, do you think Evil Geniuses has been, like, run poorly then? Because I have heard a couple of people say that, like, overall, they've done pretty well.
They got that Chinese investment money, if that's a metric. The same people who own Wolves, like Fosun Group, invested in them, and that's why they've got the conflict of interest literally on their chests, where they've got Wolves Esports there, Evil Geniuses there. And then they were both competing in the RLCS at the same time. And I reached out to Psyonix about that, and they changed the rule, but still allowed them to compete. So they didn't really change the rule. big impact. Hard-hitting journalism. They're the kind of org where I'm just like, they scaled up so quick, but also, like, what products do they have?
Mm-hmm.
What do they have for you to buy? Like, what's good about them? What personality does the brand have? Like, you're not evil people, nor are you fucking geniuses. You've proven you're not geniuses. And you're evil in the sense that you think you're fucking good, but you're not. But apart from that, like, it's just one of those ones where I'm just like, yeah, like, they're probably going to go, like, be sold at some point, like, fully acquired by Photon Group. But, I mean, I'll be surprised if, like, Wolves Esports are out at some point. But basically, I say, like...
Just as a fan, they do seem like... Sound. Yeah, the guy does. Now, Evil Geniuses do feel like a bit of a, just as a fan, as someone that just consumes it, like, pretty mid-org. Like, they don't.
What did they do? Like, what's fun about them?
Yeah.
They had, like, at least, like, Nicole, when she was, like, helping her on PR profile, at the beginning she'd have flamethrowers and shit and be kind of trying to lean into the evil persona. And now, if you want to lean into that, you need to be shit-talking everyone. Like, you know what I mean? And you also, you need to live by your standards. And if, I don't know if you saw, like, when Louise Mira dug up, well, found old tweets, I think based on Thorin's video. Yeah. And then I know he was young at the time, but like they disciplined other people before for old tweets because they say like they want to be inclusivity is one of their big things, you know, like every company says nowadays. Where like I mean the whole different people to different standards is a madness. It was very unfortunate that my good friend Louise then had a tweet dug up where he used the word that he should not be using as someone who's not black. Very unfortunate. I did not chuckle at that. If we were not friends, I maybe would have gone fucking hell, that sweet karma that. But I know he's a good guy. I know his heart. I know he's a good.
Louise is sound as fuck, man. Louise is really sound. I didn't even forget the tweet that came out afterwards, which is obviously really bad. I didn't like the article either, to be honest with you. I thought it was really like, it went from like a journalist doing some digging to just pulling up dirt on a kid. I don't know. I was really torn on it. Don't get me wrong. It's an important in article form, and that being the only thing to the article. If it was like, this guy's got a history of, I don't even know what, and like here's one part of the equation. But the whole article was just old tweets, and like it's not unimportant stuff that he dragged up, but it definitely needs to be addressed if he's like a fucking, I can't remember what it was, if he's like a racist or whatever. It's important stuff. I just didn't like it. A journalist as good as Luis, I didn't like that being the only thing to the article. Do you know what I mean?
It's a tricky one. Like I know Thorin brought it up because he wanted to test EG to see if they were like actually upholding their standards that they claim to have. Evidently they haven't. So it's a win in that point of view. But it is a tricky one. I think you have to know the intentions behind something like that from the writer. And I don't think Louis has bad intentions whatsoever. And I don't think he goes for the outrage articles or anything along those lines. So I think he was doing it like what he saw as his job to inform the public of something that is notable in a sense.
I think it came across,
if a white person is tweeting out racist words and the organization says, no, we stand on everyone being equal and caring for each other and not being a despicable, deplorable fucker. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nuanced when the kid's 13 at the time, that's or 14 probably, or whatever. But, you know, like maybe if EG weren't such cunts, Lauren might have said, like DM'd the kid and just said, hey, up, mate, delete these before someone else finds them.
Mm-hmm.
But because EG... probably virtue signaling, which is not uncommon in the industry. I think that's why it went the way it went. But anyway, that's a bit of a derailment from the guard.
It's all good. There's loads here, mate, so don't even worry. We'll just be jumping to and from anyway. So the guard, right, okay, so just to give a quick summary, you may or may not know for anyone that hasn't followed it super closely. So I think they just laid off basically every staff member at the guard. Apparently it was dead sudden and loads of people that were in the office apparently weren't even allowed to like back up old files. They were just rushed out. The guard, they're also looking to, or I guess the parent company, are looking to sell the LA Gorillas and LA Gladiators teams or franchise slots, which, yeah, good luck. I mean, teams depends on which, I mean, I don't know what's the difference between selling the team and the franchise slot. If you can buy the team for like, much cheaper than the franchise slot just for like a season, just to, I don't know, but then why would you do that? Whatever,
that's the thing. Like it got dragged up before in a Richard article, I'm pretty sure, where the franchise can't be sold for less than what is owed in franchise fees.
Oh my god, really?
And so much has been deferred. Like, I think, yeah, because I know before, well, there's been a couple of Overwatch League organizations and teams that were going to be flogged at some point, but say they still owe 10 mil. Just for example, I don't know. Say they still own 10 mil, you couldn't buy it for 9 because there's more owed on it. So you would have to like buy the value of that. And Overwatch League, a slot is not worth like 10, 15 mil right now.
Nowhere
near. Is it worth a mil? Maybe you could maybe get your money back there. I don't know if you're smart about it, but like it's gonna be tough. Like
you could argue that the COD League, you could maybe just about stretch it if you get it for cheap. But even that, like, let's be honest, even that's not worth the money. But at least in COD, you have a very dedicated fan base that like cares and interacts and probably buys at least a bit of merch and like the skins.
That seems on the
COD.
Up a bit with ranked play, Scump and Methods and Zuma. Bringing viewership to
loving that, by the way. Scumps, Cole Streams have been sick. Been watching them.
He's going to benefit from that so much more, by the way, than his salary. But yeah, but the fact like, so Optic sold the slot that it had to LA Thieves, what became LA Thieves very quickly. Like when Hector got Optic back, like that shit happened very quickly. But obviously it's been a little bit since then. We're in a trickier climate now, or a climate where people are being more realistic about what's what, are seeing things for as they are. So it could still be tough in COD, but I think there will be an org out there that, like Rise, for example, who wanted to be in COD before, been in COD before, but like wanted to be in the franchise area. Like they could maybe get it done. But yeah, it just depends what's outstanding on it and how you can divvy that up, I suppose. But I have more faith in the COD League than the Overwatch League. But again, the fact that COD's out every year, like you can lose all that progress so very fucking quickly.
COD is a self-contained small esport. It's not, or I guess mid-sized esport, is a really, really good... If you just forget about... I have so many criticisms of COD just in the sense of like, you compare the total player base to the esports scene and there's such a chasm that like they're never going to get there. It's never going to be a big esport. But like just what it is, if the salaries were contained, if it became more economically just viable for teams to be involved, it's a fucking great product. I love COD. And that, to be fair, that goes... This is why I am optimistic about esports, is because that goes for basically every esport. It's like, if you just take away... Pretend that this shit was economically sustainable and teams were financially secure. If that were the case, like, each individual product really is a special thing. Like, it's such a cool thing. And I think people would start to get excited about it again rather than it always being this pessimistic, like, weigh you down, like, ugh, costs so much money, fucking hell, you know?
There's potential. You think of, like, football, would you say there are more football spectators than players, like, casually?
I think this is probably what's special about traditional sports is... Spectators, adults, yes, but every single person I would say that's a football fan once played football at some level. Probably and so, like, yeah. They're engaged with it because of that. So, like, who do you know in England that hasn't played football for a team at some point, even if just temporarily? Do you know what I mean? Like, most people have. And so that carries you through.
At school, at breaks and...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that carries you through. It's the culture.
Yeah, whereas not that many people comparatively touch Overwatch or Valorant.
Exactly.
And, so you've got a hard job converting that over.
And, like, you compare... So, like, when we were growing up, yeah, let's say I was playing, like, Modern Warfare 2, or, like, if someone had a PC from young and they were playing what used to be a fucking... If they were, like, a big StarCraft player and, like, they got banged into the esports scene, well, that esports scene's, like, tiny now. Mm-hmm. So, like, what do you do then? Like, this is one of... I think I've spoken about this on the pod before, but like one of my worries is this constant recycling of titles. People don't grow up with the same title that they watched 30 years on.
I've discussed that, yeah.
It's just, I'm worried about that. But yeah, it just needs to contain itself. I've got, this is what I'm most excited about.
We're still on the first topic and we're 23 minutes.
Well, that's right. I'm just about to move on. So I'm excited for this one because I want us to just fucking, well, I know you'll have some... I just know it'll be funny. Anyway, so FaZe Clan, they're...
I told you! You motherfuckers didn't believe in me!
I'm not being funny, mate. I listened back to our podcast about FaZe going public, and it is aged like wine. Swear to God, it is so good. I encourage anyone to go back and watch it. Like, plug that episode in the screen, in the corner, because we
said it won't, like, you're a hype product and hype does not last sustainably, and it didn't even last a month before it started fucking tanking, like.
But now, mate, now, so
because they went under $1 at some point, right? Are they back over?
No.
Oh, bro, so they're at risk of being delisted.
Yeah, they're at risk of being delisted still. So they're at not. It's gone down more. $0.6 per share. It's down 95.4% since its debut. 95.4% since, like, I think it was $13.07 or something was the opening price.
one interesting thing, I don't know if this was reported in esports, but one of the clients I work on in my new career, tracks insider trading in the US along politicians, big companies and stuff. And it found that a bunch of B. Riley financial folks, which I'm pretty sure is like the parent company of like the SPAC that
took phase in.
A bunch of them like sold a load of their stock in the company, like the people within the company. So I think even at that level, they're trying to get out, even at like the highest like financial level, like the people who own proper shit, they're like trying to get out as well. I saw that and I didn't get enough time to like properly look into it to see what was what. And I don't think it had the nuance of like phase in there. I think it was just talking about the holding company. But like I saw B. Riley Financial and I was like, hold on, wait a second. And I was like, ooh, that's interesting. So it's a shame because I don't want to see the failure, but I think that is further proof because they're the biggest we've got and they're not even fully esports like that. Like FaZe Rain, I think, said, like, look, like you take esports away from FaZe and like we're fine. Like FaZe is still FaZe. Yeah. They're not integral. Even Atlanta FaZe, like they're cool guys, but they're not FaZe. Like they're not part of it, you know? Because Optic and FaZe have this kind of thing about them. Like, you know, whether they're official Optic or official FaZe or just side chicks, effectively, who are part of it, like to compete, but not like Optic Apex. They might have the special gold chain or diamond chain or whatever Hex gives out, but like they're not the same as a Hitch or a Maniac or a Bose or a Big Timer or something, right? So that says it all. Like one of the co-owners of FaZe is basically saying like esports don't fucking matter to us. Like it's just a means to an end. Like it doesn't actually help us. You know, so while they're marginally an esports product per se, like they're the biggest we've got, and if they're failing, with all this hype, the Sports Illustrated cover, the $1 billion headlines, all this shit, then that says, all right, probably Astralis and all the other public organizations are struggling similarly as well, I would imagine. Yeah.
I'm literally writing something about that right now, about public esports companies. It's just not going very well, is it? Mm-hmm. What was I just going to say about FaZe?
Sorry, fella.
No, it's fine. I just thought of it while you were talking. What was it? So I spoke to someone that used to work at FaZe very high up.
I know who you spoke to already, because he's a chatty party.
Right.
Just by you saying that, I have a good feeling of who it is. But
okay, anyway. I'm actually interested to know if you got it right afterwards.
I'll type it in the chat.
And I think, go on. Anyway, stop.
Am I right?
No comment.
He's a good guy, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
Sorry.
They're a good person. Don't know if they're male or female yet.
Sorry.
Keeping it super anonymous. Nah, we're messing. Nah, mate, let's be honest. FaZe doesn't employ women. What?
No, that's true. And if they do, they transition. But anyway.
Yeah. I laughed at that bit.
That's a proper frat boy culture. Right?
Man.
Sorry.
this person basically said... Person basically said that there were some people at the company that were hoping it'd be a meme stock, basically. It's pretty mad, that, isn't it, when you think about it?
A GameStop
type. And he didn't, yeah, exactly. That he referenced GameStop. And, like, he didn't. I don't think it was something they were hanging the hat on majorly, but he said, like, I think they even were expecting it to be a meme stock. I think, like I said, because they're so driven by hype, this is why we were pessimistic. I think that's why they were optimistic, is that this could just, like, they were probably, mate, you know what fucking frat boy culture is like? It was like, oh yeah, we'll all get rich. Because at the end of the day, going public, it's a payout, isn't it? You're getting fucking stacks. So, like, that's the main reason they did it. Like, they all wanted to get rich, and it's a fundraising effort, yada, yada, yada. It's this big moment in gaming and creator economy history. And it has just been the biggest face plant of all time.
Well, one funny part of it, can you remember when they announced that they actually got the deal through and they were going public, that they were apportioning like 150 mil to mergers and acquisitions so they could have tangible products within the creator economy and thus actually be a functioning company that doesn't rely on just social media followers? Like, they didn't have as much... I guess liquid money or money to go towards that. They didn't get as much money as they thought they would.
Yeah.
I think they were I can't remember now, the reporting was a while ago. Yeah, but I did cover it at Hitmarker. They thought they was going to get X amount and they actually got way under it. So they've not acquired anyone that, as far as I'm aware of, they've not actually done anything in that time to follow the word and say, shareholders, yeah, you can trust us because we're going to do what we say. Like, it was a shit show from the beginning. And it was even a danger of going through, wasn't it? Like, it was there was a time where it seemed like it wouldn't happen. I seem to recall.
Well, they had to readjust their revenue targets like several times.
Oh yeah,
I think it was like three or four times. I honestly, I can't really remember. I should have looked.
They were missing a lot of what they said they were gonna hit.
Yeah. And it was significant. Like you said, it was enough to make people do a double take. So yeah, man. FaZe,
Snoop Dogg on the board has not saved this company. Who knew? I thought he was the answer. I thought he was the seasoned veteran businessman they needed.
It is weird that they've not bought any companies. Like, they've still got a decent amount. Actually, I was going to say they've still got a decent amount of money, but I swear there was a Forbes article written basically saying, like, they actually don't have much cash at all.
Probably.
So maybe they are just fucked. It's like, what's going to happen? Yeah. And also, have you seen all of the people that... Yeah, I can't really think who was. Is Rain one of them? All the people that have basically gone against FaZe and are like flaming them, saying like, "Oh, they're doing everything," just like proper kicking off and making a big PR Rain's disaster one of, them,
yeah. of it. Yeah, because he kept threatening to expose them, and I think he never actually did out. But and then I think I saw the other day that he said, "Oh, it's coming." Like, nice one, mate. Okay, I'll just call Chase in then. But
what's happened to Banks? Is he like still associated with them or not?
I think he's an amateur boxer, but exclusively against women, probably. is my guess. Or like, do you know, is that slap boxing shit that's going around? Where it's just big burly men just slapping each other. I reckon he's doing that and just getting knocked out every round, representing FaZe. That's personally where I think he's at, because like
CTE.
Yeah, or maybe he's got his hair transplant finally, and he's just like letting it heal before he reveals it to the world and has a mighty comeback. Who knows? Well, anyway, Temper's so getting knocked the fuck out within one round anyway. We know that much. So.
Why was he fighting?
Well, he got knocked out in one round against KSI.
Oh, I should say he didn't fight KSI.
Yeah. And then I saw the other day he was like doing exercises like to actually tuck his chin finally. I'm like, it's a bit late, mate. It's probably your third knockout now. But anyway.
Right. I've got I've got way more than two more, but...
Yeah, we'll keep
it. We don't have to get through them all, but... Tidy. You choose which one to go into next, okay? Guild Esports... A launcher. Washington Post is launcher, obviously, for anyone who doesn't know.
I like the idea of Guild, but I'm more interested in what you've got to say about launcher, because I feel like I may have a slightly different view, but it depends where you stand. I think there's more chance that we can have an interesting conversation.
Go on, then. We'll do launcher then. So, so the Washington Post essentially discontinued their gaming and esports coverage. Their vertical was called Launcher. The layoffs kind of affected me, not going to lie, because I'd just written something and then I was going to be writing another thing. So was then ended up not being able to do that. That cost me a fair bit, but whatever, that's fine. Way worse for the people that were obviously like fucking full-time employed, because they are like legitimately really good. Like Mikhail edited my piece, Mikhail Klementov. He is so fucking good at editing, man. Honestly, he's brilliant. And a really good writer.
So fucking bad at Twitter.
But I love his Twitter. I think it's so fucking funny.
I followed him one day because I was like, I want to follow his work. And then I followed him the next day because I'm like, man's just tweeting out like pee-pee poo-poo and stuff like, and shitty esports awards jokes. Like,
I find it hilarious that he just doesn't give a shit that he's going to get misconstrued. But anyway, what was I going to say about that?
Oh,
So they had five, I think it was five full-time employees. So they had Mikhail... Okay.
Shannon?
Another editor, pardon?
Shannon?
Yeah, Shannon, who's like a full-time reporter, and a couple of others. and yeah, they all got let go. So
was Gene officially part of Launcher?
No, I think Gene's just... Gene Park, I think I think they're just like Washington Post generally. Because I know that like... is Gene a man or a woman? I don't even know.
Man.
Right.
Yeah. I think he beat cancer. Good on him. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So I know about that. Yeah.
Couldn't beat
Leo. He's really good, and he's like really got a massive following and shit. So he might. No, he's still at Washington Post. I know
that's messing. Yeah.
So what do I think about it? So aside from the fact, I mean, I think it's just unfortunate, first of all, because they do put out. I mean, most of it is gaming. To be fair, like most of it's gaming stuff. It's not esports, but
even you wrote a gaming article, right? Which was about Fallout or something.
Fallout 4. Yeah. About why you should play Fallout 4 again, because it's fucking sick.
scamming a living, mate, talking about, oh, you should play this game. Give me the money.
If I can fucking write shit like that. It took me like, I mean, there was a fair bit of editing to do, but it took me like a day or two to write that. It's fucking the easiest thing ever. It's just like, pays. I can say, I mean, it doesn't matter. Yeah, so Washington Post rate for one feature is like $650, so it's pretty good.
Jesus. Yeah.
Anyway, what was the point? What do I think of that? I just think it's just, it says a lot about the state of media generally, but also like loads of companies across the board, not esports, not even just gaming, are laying off people, laying off departments. So I think it's just unfortunate. And like I said,
did
I think
it ever have a chance of surviving?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Think there was always a potential future there, and it wasn't just destined to fail.
No, I think 100%. I think that. So they were basically. So that I think the strategy for that for Washington Post, Launcher was free to read. Any gaming article you read was free, whereas that's not the case in just the Washington Post generally. So what they're trying to do, let's say for like 3, 4, 5 years, however long, was trying to attract a new audience, like a top of funnel thing, attract a new audience. And then at some point they would have turned the monetization on and been like, right, you need to pay for a subscription now, but you've already got the audience that comes like regularly. So like, and Washington Post is massive and they don't really have that much gaming coverage. I don't think they did before this, before Launcher. So I think it could have 100% worked with a company, the backing of, you know, the size of the Washington Post. And like, it wouldn't have worked if they stuck strictly to esports, because there probably just wouldn't be the interest there. But what they were doing, I think, I do think it would work. Do you not? Do you think it would have failed?
The moment they turned monetization on, the moment they turn to subscribers, like I think people just go elsewhere. There's so many websites covering gaming shit. You can effectively find opinions. I just don't think gamers who are used to getting shit for free, they're just going to go on, what's the website called? It is not in my bookmarks. 12-foot ladder and get that shit for free. Not saying support journalism, but but
wait, what? What's that? What's that called? Is that where you get like paywalled shit?
I believe so. I don't know for sure, but I think you can put a URL in and get articles that are paywalled from like Insider and stuff, but I don't know for sure.
I just control A, control C before it comes up with the...
There you go. Straight into the source code.
Block. Yeah.
But no, I don't know, mate. I think that there's going to be lofty ambitions when it's a company of that size launching something. So automatically, you have to kind of fill a quota of a certain type of article to be able to reach... that I feel. I don't think just like premiumly written articles and stuff is going to work. Like, you have to kind of go the Deserto route, I feel, where you're covering all the shite and that enables you to do the good stuff, is how I feel. And I don't know if I saw a lot of SEO stuff, like they weren't like upcoming, just covering Yu-Gi-Oh shit and then saying, oh, we're a big esports publication. So I don't know. And then, yeah, if, as you say, if they were to like turn on subscriptions, I think that's turning a lot of gaming culture off, because Twitch is for free. YouTube's for free. Like, they'll pay for games and skins, like, but that's not esportsy stuff. I feel like it's just, you need a shit ton of readers to be able to get enough subscribers out of it to make it worthwhile, I find. I think, in gaming, because they're just so used to getting all this shit for free. And again, like, a new game comes out, I can go to Launcher and pay $10 a month or $20 a month or whatever, or I can go to IGN or GamesRadar or one of the big websites and get like 15 articles on it for free, like instantly the moment it comes out, as soon as the embargo's up. So it's always a tough sell, I find.
They struck the balance quite nicely between like the standard and type of reporting you would get in the Washington Post, but with like a gaming slam. I do know what you mean, to be fair.
I liked their esports work. Like the TSM investigation by Mikhail or whatever, like that was good. Like he did some good stuff. So I respect the work they did in esports, and like there's definitely a place for it. We could definitely do with like good reporting. Don't get me wrong, with like actual standards and you know, like fair play. Like I felt like if he came out with an article, it was going to be reliable. So that's more than you can say for some people and some reporters, right? So I unfortunately I'm a pessimistic fucker. So I think as soon as you try to get into gaming, you either have to play the game like the SEO game like mad, or you're probably going to fail, and even then it's tough. And that's, there's been a lot of media layoffs and stuff as well, right? Even these, of course. So, yeah, I think it was always going to be tough for them to weather this kind of storm, unfortunately. The expectations will be mad on them based on the performance of Washington Post as a as an entity, I suppose.
It's true. And probably, like, you know, you look at... They had a dedicated vertical with full-time employees covering this stuff.
And if they're paying that for freelancers, those full-timers will be getting paid a good amount.
Oh, they'll be getting loads, yeah. But also, I was just thinking of, you compare what they were doing to like Bloomberg, where they cover gaming, but they've got, well, two that I can think of. They've got Cecilia and they've got Jason Schreier, who's like probably one of the biggest around, isn't he, in terms of like size as like a gaming reporter.
Gaming, yeah.
And like, so they cover it, but they just cover it through two very well-respected, well-known journalists, as opposed to having a full thing dedicated. They would probably attract just as many traditional Bloomberg and businessy readers as they would gaming readers. So it's not like you don't have to commit to that sector or industry. You can touch on it through one or two journalists. You know what I mean? It's like a bit different to committing a whole operation to just that. So you might be right. I don't. I think my main reaction was just, oh, that's such a fucking bummer, because like they are really, like I said, they're good, and the Washington Post's a sick outlet, and yeah, it's just shit whenever you get it. For me, it was more an indictment of online media. It's like, it's sad that has to happen.
You know? And you'd have felt the exact same if you never got published on there, I assume.
Yeah, definitely.
That didn't like blur any lines for you.
No, it was just, I mean, apart from the fact it was annoying that I didn't get paid for the second article. It's a shame, but I think I was already subscribed to the Washington. You can subscribe to the Washington Post for like, I think it's like, for the first 6 months or first year, you get it for like £2 or £3 a month. So I've done that. I did that before I was published in there.
I'd rather buy energy drinks. Respect.
True. I'd rather buy the little leopard coffee.
Oh, you love little fucking pretentious coffees, you.
I do. No, it's not pretentious. It's flat white, this, mate. You're joking.
You're a flat white.
That's true. Anyway, right. So we got in fact, you know what? To mix up the flow, I'm going to mix up the flow on you, Adam. You ready?
No.
I'm just going to hit you with three quickfire ones. Then I'm going to follow up on one of them. E United, gone.
Rest in peace. You deserve it. You shit.
Yeah. I don't agree with that, but...
Boring as fuck. Never really had an identity. Did well in COD. That's about it. Brighton was on the wall
Gears
early.
Of War, I think they did all right in Gears of War.
Aye, well, congrats. You were still behind Optic in that. Optic have the dynasty there, where they won like 17 tournaments in a row or 21 or something. But quickly, you always knew E United was going to fail because they were trying to. They had a failed reverse takeover, and also they proposed merging with Optic and basically saying, we'll just be Optic and we'll just join your company. Like, it was never like, really, let's keep it united. Let's get United to the next level. It was like, oh, please take us in. We're fucked. It was going to happen at some point. Like, they were desperate for ages. They never had the big back in. They were going to be bought by that Lee Zeban, who was going to buy Outlaws and then tweeted at Elon Musk and The Rock. So, been fucked for years. It was always going to happen. Bosh. Was not surprised.
Bosh. Right. This was meant to be quick fire. Second one. Torrent. Have you heard of them?
Who? No, I've heard of Torrent. I don't have a fucking clue what they do. To me, they're probably like a Rocket League org.
They are. They've been quite well known and had like relatively decent success in Rocket League. They've gone. 10 Cinder. Star has gone.
UK org.
Yeah.
Wasn't paying people.
I don't know if they weren't paying people, but I think they were in Birmingham.
In that case, good riddance.
Yeah. Facts.
That was a Peaky Blinder, that one.
So can I read you a quote from what 10 Star said in the release when they shuttered like yesterday or day before?
Nothing more.
Okay. 10 Star, right, so there are a couple of gaps, but it was written pretty poorly, no offense to whoever wrote it. 10 Star have had extensive conversations with various investment partners. The majority of those discussions require, listen to this, definitive return on investment projections, which are difficult to produce and harder to prove in our two core titles, Rainbow Six Siege and Valorant. So, I mean, it's not looking good, is it? In the words of Castillo, it's not looking good, Brev.
And who else just left Rainbow Six?
Yeah, so that's what I was just going to say, mate. Fuck me, we are in tune. So, Astralis just left.
Yes, the NA organization.
TSM just left.
Yeah.
So on the theme of quotes, let me read you what Astralis CEO said when they left Rainbow Six Siege. As a result of the development of the League agreement, the conditions for running a healthy team organization in Rainbow Six have deteriorated significantly. That's not what you want to hear if you're an esports fan. Therefore, with regret, Astralis today announces the organization's withdrawal from Rainbow Six and further participation in the North American League. It's not looking good, is it?
Teams need the help of developers and of, like, that's what this is coming down to, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can do as well as you want in it, but if the developers aren't supporting you, you're not really viable to compete in, is effectively what we're getting at here.
Mm-hmm.
That 10-star quote seems to basically be saying, because we're not permanent partners of this league and thus get a revenue share, we're fucked and we can't guarantee any revenue.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know totally what changes were made to Rainbow Six. I need to still have a look.
Because they brought Blast in, right?
Yeah. A lot of people were saying like the tournament, the route to like the top tier is really complicated and a bit convoluted.
Right, okay.
I don't know if that had anything to do with people leaving the scene, but... It's not looking good. And yeah, TSM left Rainbow Six as well.
Okay. TSM, they can fuck off, so whatever.
TSM are zombies.
That's tough. I don't know if like they were paying like stipends and stuff like PUBG used to certain teams to have them involved.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's just run out. But I know like Astralis acquired Disrupt Gaming and that's how they got into NA and into Rainbow Six.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that means Mark. I'm pretty sure Mark was the founder of Disrupt. I can't remember his surname, but I follow him. I've done for years. Very smart guy, I feel.
Cashflow.
I think his name's Mark, or is it just... I can't remember. Maybe
I
made that bit
up. I don't know.
But I think he's always been pretty realistic. Always been quite realistic. So I need to check his tweets out. If he's agreed with the decision...
No, he was gutted. He was left, like, really disappointed with it.
Well, yeah, he's out of a job, like, fair play.
Yeah,
so I don't know what's changed at Rainbow Six, but, I mean, you now need to keep afloat however you can, right? So you're going to go, if Psyonix are like, yeah, we'll have game skins and make sure you get a good cut of it, and League of Legends are like, yeah, you've got a spot in the LCS for however long, and blah, 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 you can guarantee some sort of stability. That's probably... paramount right now and the priority, I would suggest. Mm-hmm. So any game where it's an open circuit, it's probably going to be tougher to like want to commit to.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense. Like you won't like go super ham in Fortnite. I think like teams have been dropping out of Fortnite quite a bit as well. Fully out now, I think.
Right
I think I saw.
I don't know. I think there was still, I think Fortnite's still appealing just because it's usually, I think it's such a young audience and it's so family friendly. So I think that alone is the reason a lot of orgs stay in it. Like Guild isn't in many titles. Fortnite's probably a title where you don't have many other options because like you don't want to spend money on like a franchise slot or whatever. So like that's one of the...
And it's only one person you have to pay, not a fucking team.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say something. I don't know if it was about that or something completely different. Who cares?
Was it about the common theme between those orgs, like...
Bouncing. Oh no! So the Six Invitational just had like its worst year ever in terms of viewership as well. I think it was the worst ever, or it was the worst in years, if not ever.
Oh, shit. Okay, so, now, is that the one G2 won?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So
because before,
and I feel love like Siege, man. I love Siege.
I feel like G2 in Siege had like the optic effect in COD. Whereas. But that they had like a really well-known roster with people, personalities, Pengu and such. Whereas now I don't know if they have that. I don't really follow it too much. But also, obviously, the Carlos situation has like fractured the G2 fan base. And like G2 is in a bit of a weird spot in my mind where it has to kind of either reinvent itself or try to replicate what it had without the main person orchestrating it all, which is going to be very tough.
funny you should say this. I'm going to Berlin on Tuesday.
Okay.
And I'm interviewing Alban, the new CEO, on Wednesday.
Okay.
For a piece, and it's going to be about this. It's going to be about like the kind of new G2 even with the CEO.
Interesting. First question you should ask him is, how much of the organization does Carlos still own? Because he literally tweeted back at someone the other day saying, I've not gone from G2 or something. And they're not just going to kick him out that quick. So he's still involved somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's just like selling off like 0.1% of his shares each time and then buying a new Bugatti with that or what, but
Bugatti.
You know what I mean? Like it's a, G2's in a weird spot. But yeah, that should be interesting to read. But I'll definitely try and get, you're not going to get answers on Carlos, but I feel like that's probably
it is kind of, the angle is like, how different what is now? This all going to be? Like what now, what after Carlos? So no, I'll definitely be asking that. And like, I'll keep you posted.
And you should ask him when they're going to accept money from Saudis as well, because Alban's partial to a bit of that.
What, because of Riot?
Yeah, LEC, Neom, he was basically the one saying, like, yeah, we'll keep him, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, I don't really...
I'm pretty sure he was, the main guy behind it all, so...
Right. Maybe I shall ask him.
not at the start of the interview, because I don't think it'll go well. Maybe right at the end.
I'll get that question to him, don't worry. So there's some people that have left... or being let go, that I think is pretty significant in the last like few months. And I don't know, I feel like it probably does, if we're going to start to see an exodus of C-suite executives and like CEOs that are leaving the industry to go back to fucking music or whatever, I think it does probably say quite a lot about where esports is. So we're probably going to see that. So you've got Chris Overholt, who was the CEO at Overactive. He's just left as of the last couple of days. Wouter, am I even pronouncing that right? I really like him and I can't even pronounce his name right. Wouter, CEO of Excel, is no longer the CEO of Excel. He's left. And Tim Reichert replaced him.
That was always going to happen. That one.
Was it?
Yeah.
In the last few months, well, obviously Jeff Pabst left FaZe, but also more recently, Kai Henry, Beowulf and Xavier Ramos have all left, which is probably like FaZe is just a bit of a shit show, isn't it? And like, so you've got the people kicking off that were kind of part of the org from day one. You've got top executives leaving. Yeah, it just doesn't look good for FaZe.
You've got CEO Lee Trink just getting a quick milli each year with mad bonuses while the organization's just dying. He's like, give me the bonus, you cunts.
Shout out Lee Trink. You just let me for real. JMR Luna just left OG as CEO.
Oh, yeah. I'm interested about that one.
Yeah, and it seemed, in the release, it's like, oh, it's amicable, thanks to all the bloody blah, 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 blah. But it's always going to be that, isn't it? Like, I wonder what the actual reason was for him leaving. There's that. And there are others. I've not got any others listed, but there are others.
Guild, I suppose, is probably an example of where people have left there, like Michelle and Carlton and stuff, right?
Carlton left a while back. Yeah, the CEO stepped down like pretty recently, in like the last 3-4 months. What's his name? I'm blanking on his name now. What the fuck is his name? How have I forgotten that? Reporting on these cunts for like a year. I can't remember. Cal Hurd is his name.
There you go.
So
do you think it's a good thing? Do you think like new leadership is needed, considering this is the point they've gotten to now? Leadership's got organizations to this point. Do you need fresh perspectives?
Yeah, there's an aspect of that. But I do think, I suppose so, yeah, because there are some people that have come from other industries, probably because this was like, oh, look at me, it's good for my career if I can, you know, go to this hot fucking new industry. Whereas before they might have been like senior manager or something, or like a Coca-Cola or like Warner Music. as like a decent level, obviously good level, but then come to esports and they're like the CEO level. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like there's part of that where it's like, oh, it's, and those people then leave. That might be a good thing, to be fair.
Yeah, because you've got Chris Overholt was IOC, the Olympics. FaZe had people from like Interscope, I'm pretty sure, like music. Michelle was
music, isn't he, as well?
Yeah, I think, was he like Karma Loop, like fashion retail?
I don't know.
Might be the case, and maybe music as well. Or they at least had people from Karma Loop. Michelle was at like a footy club, was it Arsenal or Chelsea? Something like Arsenal. That. Like, so yeah, there's a lot of them coming out from other parts of the entertainment world, I suppose, coming in and realizing, oh yes, this has not worked. So yeah, but I don't know, man. I think like seasoned leadership is going to be essential for this next part, actually. So I'm more open than ever to people with fresh perspectives on esports who have not worked in it before coming in, at least advisor roles, not CEO, but you want someone with good knowledge of esports and then put people around them who are good in business. Because like you look at Nate Shot, like he did that. Like he knows the industry somewhat as a player and creator. Mm-hmm. But like needed actual businessmen around him, Jackson.
Well, I'll ask you about that.
John stuff. I saw
the. Did you see some of the backlash and the? So yeah, there was the piece about him and the article itself, but then there was a bit of backlash to the article itself.
Yeah. That's a weird one.
Yeah, I kind of. I was torn on it. I think. I'm confident. So Alex wrote it. Alex Lee. I'm confident he would have had more than was in the article. But when you read the article, it did come across as a bit like he did put them in the same bracket as like some other people like Andy Dean and who else? So like Reggie and I can't think who else is like a proper dick. But anyway, he lumped Nade Shot in with these people. And it's like what he wrote in the article that Nade had done was nowhere near that.
And he was just a bit of a bossy bastard and maybe not as experienced.
Sounds like he was a bit of a bit snappy and a bit, yeah. But apparently, like, there's more to it than that. That I guess just fucking Digiday shit themselves and couldn't include. I don't know. But yeah, it did read a bit. But then you had like fucking. I know you're not the biggest Jake Lucky fan. Then you did have him like trying to flame or trying to say like he basically commented on it, saying like, "Oh, how can you lump Nade Shot in with blah blah blah?" And then Mikhail was like, this fucking, basically this news aggregator that farms social media impressions is trying to critique someone for doing actual reporting, like, fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Which I totally agreed with. Because Alex is good. Like, I've disagreed with some of the pieces he's put out here and there, especially when he came on air for the gamers piece. But he is good. So yeah, I don't know. That was a big tangent, but... so maybe Nade Shot is next to come in that kind of...
Well, a lot of these creators are not who they make themselves out to be because they can't be themselves. They have to be like an ideal version of themselves who are always on, always fun. And he seems like he's always had a conflict between being a creator and being a businessman. There will be times where he'll like stream for a week and he's like basically taking a week off of work. And I'm like, my man, you're the CEO. Like he's in a bit of a tricky spot. And, and, so you have to like juggle there, like being the always on the entertainer and then being like quite a cutthroat person at times. You'll have to be to make some of these decisions like, no, we're exiting that game, or no, we need to cut that player, or no, actually let's try and haggle and get X salary, whatever it may be. Like, I think there's two sides to the coin there. And again, like these people are flawed like every other fucker. There's going to be times where you have bad days. It sounds like I'm really caping for Nade Shot here, but I'm just saying, like, to me, it sounds like he could be a little snappy. He could be caught in between and not dedicated to either, which is so neither's getting the best of his attention and his ability, which is not ideal. But it's not enough. Like, it doesn't sound like bullying to me. It sounds more like he's more like a stepdad or someone who doesn't pay enough attention to the kids sometimes. And then... just gets a bit angry sometimes and has a bit of a pop, but like maybe it's very different from your Regis and stuff, from what I can tell, at least. And Carlos is, to be fair, he was a twat behind the scenes as well, so which I hinted at many times in this podcast but never explicitly said. I don't think like so.
He's gone full fucking...
His ankles are out every day, mate. His shirt is so tucked in.
I was gonna say Oh man, that's so funny.
You see a cock print in every outfit. He's like, yes, fam, like, let's shrink that fucking pair of joggers. I need them to see I've shaved me balls. You know what I mean? Like, he's
got is on his full bullshit, edge lord. Sure.
Like, but again, like, it's weird that he's just like, he wants to be a Muslim, but without being a Muslim at this point as well. It's very weird.
Because
very
the weird Middle Donnie. East pays so well, mate. That's why.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very weird Donnie. Like, now you have to wonder, is this who he actually is, or is the person before when he was at the organization who he actually is? Because these are very contrasting things. One of them, he cared a lot about everyone. This one, he's like, oh, you broke boys, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's like, right, which one is it, fam? Like, something fishy one way or the other, and it's hard to work out which one it is. We'll see how long he can sustain this character for, I would suggest.
Yeah.
When the tapes inevitably get out, we'll see if they actually, like, acknowledge he exists.
That would be funny.
It's just like
a fanboy in the background, like, yes, go on, tapes, free tape.
And yeah, they'll come out, yeah. Just be like, sorry, who are you again?
Nate Shot? No, it's Carlos. Because I saw a clip where, like, one of the, like, I guess, red pilly folks online was talking about how cool Carlos is and how, like, he stood up against the system and left and all this shit. And he went, like, Carlos, he was the owner of EA? And the other guy said, yeah. And I'm like, you guys don't even know what's fucking what, mate. You think he owns the people behind FIFA, for fuck's sake? Like, these people do not give a fuck, fam. You're tweeting pictures of a circle and then, like, going on Discord and doing video calls just talking about, like, women are so precious. Also, fuck them, I own them. He's like, which one is it, fam? You fucking mad cunt.
Targeting that incel crowd, boy.
It's working well, mate, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right, so we've got... I'm going to go through some job cuts now. Are you ready?
Oh, God. This is deep.
And think how long we've been going on this. Like, there's not... These are all recently. Like, it's not... It's been a bad time for esports. FaZe cut 20% of their staff. Immortals cut some of their staff. Don't know how many. I just put Immortals.
Oh, even their CEO left, right? Jordan Sherman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to put that one on. But yeah. Optic, I think fairly minor, maybe like 3 or 4 employees, but they sacked some people.
Including Lindsay, who was like big on the marketing side and social side for Dallas Fuel, which is interesting. Right.
Interesting, yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm sorry to hear that, Lindsay, by the way, you're a great person. Please continue, sorry.
Washington Post launcher, like I said before, like we were talking about before. Team Liquid let go of a lot of people, I think. Don't know how many, but they did.
I didn't see that.
I think Nerd Street Gamers, I think it was 25% of their workforce. Right. Like a decent chunk, if not 25%. But yeah, and we know, like, have we spoke about Nerd Street in this episode?
No.
About how they're a bit fucked?
No.
Oh, have we not? Right, okay. No. Maybe we can get into that next.
Yeah.
Riot. Wait, we did do it. Oh, fuck it.
We haven't. Riot. We talked about it before. We haven't talked about Nerd Street.
Oh, right, on the right. Recording. Okay. Riot let go of 46 people, which I know isn't just esports, but 100 Thieves let go of a lot. I think it's like 20, 30 staffers. Yeah. United's gone. Evil Geniuses let go of some. Generation Esports let go of some, which is like the Scholastic Collegiate company. So basically everyone's fucking letting go of people. So it's pretty depressing. And then, so yeah, wait, let me see if I've got...
But there's like so many managers at these companies, like what the fucking managing from?
Yeah. True. You run most of these orgs on a shoestring.
So I'm the vice president of senior vice presidency. I'm on the board for the board of the board of the members. It's like, yeah, what are we fucking doing here, fam? Oh, Jesus. I'm the super social manager. I'm not quite senior, but I'm super. Like, fuck off.
I'm the manager for Twitter for our Rocket League team here, in the academy.
Yeah, and I do graphics.
And I'm on
a
full-time salary.
Yeah, so I'm in. Streamlining is probably a good thing. It's not good for the people who were hired, of course. Like, they don't deserve it. Like, it's not up to them who the company hires. So fair play. They go for a job, they get it. It's sad that they lose a job and have to look elsewhere. Hopefully they find something nice outside of esports. It's nice over here, I can tell you that much. Unless you're working at McDonald's or something, no offense, but I would not like that. So if you get a good job outside of esports, congrats. It's probably a good thing. I think, speaking objectively for other companies, But just it's sad it? For all the folks, of course.
Yeah.
That's all I've got on that.
That's okay. So we've not spoken about Nursery. Okay, so they owed their people money.
Like casters and stuff, right?
Casters, I think players, people that won like prize money, casters, things like that. Quite a lot of different like members of like of talent. They're looking for, and I've got some good news to like kind of finish my list as well,
okay,
which I'm going to touch on a little bit. So James Fudge just, he reported that Nerd Street, wait, actually, have I got that mixed up? I need to check that before I say that. I don't know if it's Nerd Street that he reported on. Oh, fuck it, I'm not going to check right now. We'll get onto that later.
Okay.
But basically, they're looking for a buyer or investors, Nerd Street are.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically heavily invested in Valorant, the Valorant ecosystem. But then Riot basically chose to like do their own thing, I suppose. And Nerd Street were just kind of left by the wayside. And I think they maybe were still or may still be waiting for payments from publishers. So like they've owed people money for like months and it's looking pretty bad. They're in a pretty shit spot. So yeah, Nerd Street is not in a good place. And I thought Nerd Street I don't know loads about the company, but I know a lot about the company. I don't know loads about their financials. I just always presumed they'd be pretty sound, you know, like financially.
They used to be.
Did they?
Yes.
Because now they've got like local host as well, haven't they?
Local host, like, fuck me. I know they were exploring acquiring other companies and stuff a lot back in the day. So like they had the Comcast money, same as Philadelphia Fusion and T1. So there was a lot of money to be had there because it was like I think like the CEO of Comcast's son running the gaming department. I'm pretty sure if I remember that correctly. And he's just like letting it motherfucking rain on these people. And they had a good thing going. Like in a sense, like I understand what their business plan was. It was always a bit weird to me that they went into TO area. Without fully committing or like doing it white label, which is probably a better strategy. You look at Vindex with Belong and Esports Engine, and that goes into my theory that Vindex will acquire Nerd Street Gamers for cheap, snap up competition, roll them in. That would make way too much sense, even though I wonder how Belong is doing in this climate and if they have faith in the whole venue stuff
I think James Fudge's article, so he's just launched the Esports Advocate, which is like a new site, which is doing really well. That's the good news that I'm going to get onto in a second. I think Nerd Street may have already approached Belong about them buying them out. I don't know, presumably those discussions, well, they're definitely not gone anywhere as of like right now in terms of like something to report. But yeah, so that might happen, what you just said. We shall see.
Yeah, it sounds feasible. There was a bunch of stuff I heard back in the day where I'd have to like revisit messages from hashtag sources to tell you what the plans were. But obviously, I don't want to leak everything because that's probably not for the best. But I just know like they were in a good spot, big plans, building a lot, expanding a lot, like good amount of investment. And that does run dry. Like TOing is hard work, obviously. You see that across the board, the ESL Blast and stuff like it's hard to do like good shit, and especially if it's the stupid decision. And John, CEO of Nerd Street, I respect you, I think you're a good guy, but it was dumb of you to be like, yeah, let's work with Riot and build Valorant for them. You're doing the fucking hard work for them just for them to take it off your hands, like out of your hands. That was always going to happen. They want to control every part of it and get as much money out of it as they fucking can. For as cheap as possible as well. So they're not going to pay you. They're going to build a little team and build a shitty set. And that's that. Like, that's how it goes. LCS, LEC, all that shit. So they were always going to take it back. I know they were in the first couple of years saying, no, we love working with third parties, blah, blah, blah. But like, it's never going to be sustainable long term. So that was never a good decision for my money. When I saw people basically saying, yeah, we'll do the hard work for you, Valorant, I was like, you daft cunt, you're getting cooked. You don't even realize it yet. Like it was never going to be a good idea in my mind, never, because it was always going to happen. All Valorant would just die out. Like if it didn't catch on casually as an actual game, it would just die out, or Riot was going to take over. Like, mm-hmm. it was always going to be the way, because like it's worked with League somewhat, so they were going to go that way again. Like, mm-hmm. so I think that was a silly decision. I still think infrastructure is a good bet, but it's maybe a bit early right now. In terms of infrastructure, I mean building the facilities, like trying to get people off the high streets and malls into gaming arenas, quote unquote, which is effectively just a shop with some chairs and stuff, but it's still a tough sell. Maybe a bit early, but I like the idea and I think it will pay off in future if you can stick by it. But yeah, I do think Vindex, because they had access to a lot of money at one point. I imagine Esports Engine is profitable, I would assume, because they're doing fucking six tournaments a fucking weekend. For all, literally for all the big publishers and stuff, like so you imagine they're getting paid well. Apicella knows what he's fucking doing, like, so I wouldn't be surprised if it rolled into that, and it would probably be a very good fit. Like you believe I can believe in Sunny and Sepso to make that shit work. So I hope they pay people. I hope they pay them a little bit more for the inconvenience. It's good that John went direct to some people and explained what was going on, but obviously it's not good to be in that position. And if you're promising to pay money that you don't have yet, so you're owing money that's owed to you, like, that's a bit of a shit position to put yourself in. And it sounds a bit desperate to me. Sounds like you ran out of money elsewhere. So I hope they can see it through, pay people off and exit somewhat and hand it over to people who can redeem it. But stay away from Valorant, you daft cunts.
Well said. Well said on that. Right.
Positivity. Or have we got another neggy?
I'm just debating what to say first. I'm gonna I'm gonna start with the positive, and then it's gonna bleed into the negative at the end. So the positive is that James Fudge has just launched the Esports Advocate, and he's already doing more than like most outlets. He's broken stories left, right, and center. He seems to be bang on everything straight away. So he reported on the Nerd Street financial worries, I think, out of the outlets. I think he was like one of the first to like do proper reporting on it. He recently, and I guess this is part of something that I wanted to mention to you separately as well, he broke that Jinx TV is looking for a buyer. Like, they've hired someone to find a buyer for them. Which I heard about like a few weeks ago, but never actually did like any reporting on it or anything. So pretty sweet that, James broke that. I'm pretty sure he was the one that broke that E-United was closing down. And he also reported first on the X1 entertainment situation, which X1, so basically X1 is... There's a guy, the guy that runs it called Mark Elfenbein, I think his name is. Not from esports or gaming at all. He's the CEO, and he basically don't know if it's fair to say he did a runner, because I think he's now paid a lot of the people that they owed money to. But basically X1, they owed loads of people money, and then James Fudge was like trying to get in touch with them to see what was what. And he just wasn't responding to anything, wasn't responding to anyone, including the people he owed money to. So X1 owns, last year they acquired Shift and Octane. They also acquired a talent agency called Tyrus, I think it's Tyrus Talent, turned them into X1 Talent, which no longer exists. So the woman that ran that company, Amanda Solomon, I think her name is, she left couple of months ago maybe, but since then X1 Talent's just gone, like, doesn't exist anymore.
Is Rings.gg still about, the organization that they owned?
No, so I forgot about that. Yeah, so they also shuttered Rings, so Rings doesn't exist either, so they're just like fucked. And since late October 2022, their share price has been going down and down and down, and it's currently at I think they're on the Toronto Venture Exchange, I think. Maybe not. But their share price is 0.02 Canadian dollars per share. So, like, really fucking...
Well, it's twice as good as it could be. So
Yeah. So that's the whole situation. I think, like I said, I think they have now paid a lot of the people that they owe money to, because I spoke to Fudge.
Such a funny name, Fudge. Anyway, fair play to James for breaking those stories. What I will say, I think I saw him run a story with one source the other day, and me no likey.
Which one?
Couldn't tell you. He's been putting out a lot, and I don't pay that much attention. But I did read it, and it was like, one source said this, and I'm like, I don't care what your one fucking source said.
I know what you mean. I suppose it depends who the source is. I think overall I trust James to get it right most of the time.
I'd just fucking lie about it and say sources tell us. I mean, like, because at that point I'll believe
that's
it.
That's what I do.
Right, fair play.
Whatever, like, I write for.
Unless you've got like the best source ever, but still, like, it just that scares me a bit, because like the thing is, as far as I'm aware, he doesn't have anyone over him. It's just him reporting, right? So he doesn't have the backing and protection of a big publication, number one. So you've got to be fucking watertight. And two, it always helps to have another pair of eyes and perspective stuff. Yeah. So that's always a bit of a struggle. But fuck it, people are substacking it up. It's the same kind of shit there. So he's first to quite a lot of stuff. I keep seeing his LinkedIn posts where he's like, oh, there we go again. I'm ill, but someone's got to do the hard work or some shit. And he's like, I'm cracking on. It'd be like probably, what would it be like, 4 or 5 in the morning for him, and he's starting work and stuff. It seems like he's really grinding his ass off to make it work. So fair play to the fella.
Yeah, he seems to be grafting. You know what you should do? You should make a real, like, no-holds-barred Substack where you just fucking go in on your commentary on esports. Just be like,
I've got one called F-Bomb.
I met this dickhead. Have you really?
Yeah.
Oh, talk about people you don't like. Just like proper stir shit. I would love for you to do that.
That's
messy, you're so
though,
well
isn't it?
Placed to do that. Yeah, but imagine how funny it'd be. People would pay mate, you could monetize that and earn like a good wage off that, I think, in time. You could earn at least, you could start by earning like a few hundred quid a month, I think. Easily. With barely any backlift, you could just start and just be like, I met when I first met Carlos. And they just fucking ripped. Oh, mate, that'd be so fun.
You're the top 10 coke sniffers I've met in esports.
Yeah, imagine.
It'd have to be top 20, actually, but
I'd be snugly placed at number 4.
Can I ever tell you, I drank whiskey with no tail in Poland.
Did you really?
That's
cool.
I've got little stories like
Where's No Tail from?
That's a good question. I don't know.
He's a Dota player, isn't he? He's like
he founded OG, effectively. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Two times TI winner.
Yeah.
And put some whiskey back.
So he's a millionaire?
Many times.
You'd imagine yeah.
This was at the King Gwyn Esports Performance Centre in Warsaw.
Oh, yeah.
They invited me out just to have a look. And I interviewed the CEO, because they had Team Kinguin was their team brand, and then they rebranded it to Black Devils, and then everyone went mental, so they rebranded it to Devils One. And this was when like Taz was competing for Kinguin. So yeah, they had a branding called like Black Devils, and it was while I was there, it was all happening. So I was like, oh, let's speak. Why did you call it that? And it basically goes back to like there was like a military unit in like the Polish army or something back in the day called like the Black Devils, and it's like a big pride thing. It's not them just saying everyone who's black is a devil, which is just egregious, obviously, if so. But yeah, they very quickly changed it. But yeah, that's when I met No Tail. But yeah, maybe I have a Substack ready to go. Like, I could start today, for example, and it's called F-Bomb, because I'm like, F-Bomb,
I swear a lot. To just do that also in your spare time, just like tell stories and stuff.
Yeah, but in my spare time, I'm learning like fun stuff like landing page design and PPC strategy at the moment, because I find that more fun than esports. So maybe, I don't know. I'm very close to just becoming like one of those solopreneur absolute fucking dickheads on Twitter who are like, oh, 7 AI tools you need to build. Yeah. I'm very close to being one of those fuckers. Not
10 threads.
Yeah, I'm not really this podcast as otherwise, but I'm not really a chatty patty and dish out gossip and stuff anymore. Like, or want to get in the mix. Like, I'm quite happy being like drama free, to be honest with you. It's been very nice and peaceful. I've not been tweeting really. It's been great. So yeah, I don't know. I will think about it.
The reason I think it would work so well and be so funny is you just have no vested interest in the industry anymore. So it just
interest in the industry anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Just like, because you could just be like, if you felt really strongly about a certain company or a certain person, just be like, here's my experience with them. And like, are you taking the piss? Everyone would read that.
I don't think anyone cares about what I have to say anymore, man.
Nah, bullshit. Of course they do.
I truly believe it.
They would. I'm telling you, they would. That would be a no-brainer, no-fail situation, I'm telling you.
Okay. Well, I'm on annual leave for the next 9 days, so... I may get it going. Who knows? I'll think about it at least. I can promise that much.
Yeah. And if you need me to give it a quick proof just to see if it's too spicy, even though I don't think that's possible. Anyway.
Yeah. Maybe. I appreciate the support there. But right. I don't know. I feel like I'm mad irrelevant now, which is nice. I do like that feeling.
Nah, you could write something like that. It'd be good. Right. I've not got anything else on my list, mate. Is there anything else that you've noticed or anything you want to talk about?
I can say that James Fudge has retweeted out my tweet about us recording this, and Mikhail has liked it. So, fuck's sake. The same fuckers we've talked about are going to be watching this shit, and I'm going to get DMs later that I'm not going to respond to. Fuck you. What I will say is, there's someone who is a Cyber Athletic super fan who started a Substack. And I read it, and it was hilarious. And that is all I'm going to say. They know who they are. When I say super fan, it's the opposite of a super fan. But right. I've read your work because you seemingly lost your job, and it's not good at all. And that's what you get for fucking with me. No, I'm joking. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you lost your job. I hope you get back on your feet and sort your fucking attitude out. That's all I've got for the end of this, aimed at one particular super fan. Who would read every post I write and then go on Twitter and talk about how shit it is, I'm sure. So I just thought I'd return the favour. And that's all I've got. It's been fun. I miss recording this shit.
I really enjoyed that. We should definitely try and do it a bit more often.
You're going to be on your travels soon, right, though? So.
Do you want to try and... I've got loads to do. Should we record another episode right now? After this?
We can discuss topics.
We can have a look at topics.
And we'll see what's what.
Oh, yeah, so I'm going to... Yeah, that's a personal update. I'm going to Berlin. I'm starting my travels officially.
How long do you think you'll be there for? Is that scheduled in? How long you'll be there?
I've not even got a return flight back yet. So I'm going to be there for at least 2 weeks. I want to try and make it 3. And then depending on how I feel at the end of that, if I can like wash all my clothes in a hostel fine and like I feel good and like able to work whilst I'm there, I might just go straight somewhere else like Amsterdam or something like that.
Okay, so
we'll see. I'm
gonna I'd love to record an episode with you while you're in Amsterdam.
I'd be like that.
Yeah, the episode would be called like Brownie Points or something.
I'm not a big weed smoker, mate. I can't, it messes with my head.
That's fair. I was not referring to weed at all, actually. That's how weird to bring up drugs.
You're talking about a food coma. Just eat so many like real brownies that I just like.
Yeah, well, I was going to go and meet you there, but now you said you don't partake in the joyous.
I would partake. I would try it. I just got to be careful with how much.
Anyway,
we're about to get demonetized if we're even able to monetize.
Yeah. Right, everyone. Thank you for watching us on this most positive podcast.
Wish Adam continued success and enjoyment in his new career.
Motherfuckers, like, subscribe,
and esports career.
See you on the next one, dickheads.